Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Telford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Hello.
And Jules Gill.
Hello.
And I think my voice has returned. Stop imitating me from earlier in the week.
I know, that's
just because I sounded like the man from Chernobyl. I couldn't help it.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm back now. I think I've got some bass. So I just wanted to do because the last couple of weeks we've sort of done stuff that's delved into different industry practices. There's been a few things that were a little bit more negative. And I thought, well, you know what? I really love video games, having played my N64, Mario 64. And I thought, why not just gather some people around and just talk about sort of generally innovative mechanics or exciting little things or different gameplay things that sort of blew us away. It doesn't really matter necessarily how far ago it was, but I want to try and stick to modern-ish stuff.
Well, that's the whole point. You play video games. It's not just escapism, but as a developer, it's an art form, isn't it? It's about creating something, and you could look at a game like Pong and think that is, like, you know, innovative in the way that it's shaped gaming, just in terms of like competitive stuff. But it's about taking that concept of the simplest game and getting new mechanics and ideas across the board.
So exactly. So I asked both of you to come up with three games each that have like specific mechanics or just different ideas that the game was doing that maybe you hadn't seen anywhere before. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to sort of celebrate all things gaming. So the first one for me is Transistor. I absolutely love the way that it ties its lore to its gameplay. That game is by Super Giant Games.
Not Super Massive Games.
Not Super Massive Games. Super Giant, who I adore, who also did Pyre and also did Bastion.
They've got a new one coming out as well, which is where you play as Hades or something.
I think it's called Something of Hades.
It looks really interesting, kind of like an isometric roguelike RPG.
Nearly all of their stuff is like an isometric thing, apart from Pyre's like more like a basketball type thing. But Transistor, the way that like you build your character basically means that if you keep doing combos with that certain loadout, you'll unlock a bit more of the lore. So like to actually get the full grasp of what the hell's going on and to understand the plight of the character that you're playing. I think she's called Red. She's like this ex like opera singer who gets like stabbed and then like a voice goes into a sword and then the sword talks.
I
remember the sword talking.
I'm not going to spoil the ending, but the sword's identity is definitely like a big sort of like, oh, this is lovely.
What? You're never going to get around to it.
Excuse me.
Maybe someday.
Actually, this game
Final Fantasy VII. This
game does keep cropping up and people are whispering about it on the interwebs and now you're obviously telling us about it here and I'm thinking, hello, kind of interesting.
You should still definitely play it.
If nothing else, then you should listen to the soundtrack because Darren Corb wrote this and he is so good at like writing this because he did Bastion as well.
And Pyre.
So to go from sort of like the weird sort of like psychobilly western stuff that he did in Bastion to this sort of new synthwavey stuff. Oh, it's so
good. Of course it's synthwave. That's why Scott likes it.
Yeah. But it's not synthwave like the kind of like dark synth that I like. It just kind of has synthesized elements to it. But I love the idea because the whole thing, like there's a whole mystery around like what exactly is like the history of the world itself and like why are you doing what you're doing and like what's the state of the hierarchy and the politics and everything else. And I just love that they sort of, it doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense in the moment as to why your character would suddenly know more about the world just because she hit 10 people in a row or whatever, but if you've built your loadout in a certain way, you can go back into the menu and you'll just unlock like biographies of certain characters, of certain politicians, and you'll get to you'll not really understand the world and you'll not get the full picture unless you're fully exploring the gameplay side of it too. I love that
the combat in it is exceptional as well because the way that you can sort of slow down time, then you like trace things around them, there's like lines of damage and stuff like that. It's really clever.
You kind of like you pause it and then you tell her, you play as like Red or whatever, and you tell her where you want to go and attack this person, this and then you you resume time and you'll go and do those things.
Okay, like, bounce yeah. off so them. It sounds like basically lots of different bits from lots of different other games and they're all like bit, in the one yeah. game.
It definitely has its own identity, especially like the, through the art direction and the music and everything. And it's just like I said to you before, like there's a hum button in it. So at any point you can just sit and relax and just press the hum button and Red will just hum along to whatever song's on at the time.
Now, we actually did that in our pointless video game abilities that are still awesome that we do anyway. Uh-huh. But after looking into it in more depth, there are, I think, a couple of locations where the hum button actually does affect gameplay, but like in a really nice, subtle
That's like
way.
As the story kind of goes somewhere.
It's just cool. Like humming in a certain area, like, this is an example, not the actual example, will like affect an enemy's like AI or like, it's, like
so
their behavior.
Cute.
Like,
I love that.
Like, if your people aren't already following Supergiant Games, just get on them. Everything they touch is gorgeous.
They might actually be the highest percentage success rate of any sort of like developer. I would argue that they're one of my personal favorites. And
totally. Well, like Pyo was in our Games of the Year for 2017 or whatever year it was.
Imagine if I came to you, Rachel, and just said, I've got an idea for a game. It's a basketball game. You'd be like, okay, cool, like 2K. Well, no, actually, it's got RPG elements. It's going to have like fantasy creatures. And also when your guys get too good, you're going to have to promote them into heaven or hell effectively.
Yeah, so you always lose your best.
Yeah, because you're in limbo.
I've heard of Pyo, yeah. And it's
also a wolf with a little mustache, just a little twizzly mustache. He's great. And a little dude called Tizo.
I wish I was there for the board meeting with that one.
It's phenomenal. Yeah.
Honestly, with games, the weirder the better.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Rach, your first thing was Resident Evil 7.
Yes, I wanted to highlight just how flipping cool Resident Evil 7 is. Not just Resident Evil 7, but in particular Resident Evil 7 VR. Mm-hmm. Because when it first came out, I was in camp. I was always too young and scared to ever play Resident Evil. 7 was the first one I ever played.
Right.
And I was also in camp, screw the VR, it's a gimmick, it won't
last. It's pretty
good
camp, it's really warm. Have you seen the couches?
Oh my God, it's very warm, it's very overcrowded.
Yeah, maybe.
But
I'm looking to leave.
But actually, what this game does in VR is absolutely incredible. Honestly, I think you were saying it's probably the biggest AAA VR game.
I think
game.
Like they tried to push it with Blood and Truth in terms of like this is why you should buy a PSVR. But the Resident Evil 7 feels like it is like a big AAA production with
it. Just works really well. So obviously, 7, if you didn't know, you probably all do know, but it was Resi's first foray into first person, and it just works really well with the VR. I was playing it at home with a friend with it on my face and I was just sticking my noggin into everything. It just gives the whole game a whole new level of horror because
I was
going to
ask because I know Josh played through it all in VR as well. Mm. Like how well can you move around? I know you can when you're in place you can look around stuff and peek up and around and
it's
stuff.
It's surprisingly good actually. It's not, but then I don't really suffer from motion sickness. Mm. So I know a lot of people do. So maybe it would get quite it's very fast paced. For example, when you start to get to combat, obviously it's a shooter. Your face, like where you're looking, is the aiming,
right. which I actually really prefer because I feel like it's like where I'm looking, that's always where I want to shoot.
Right.
But for someone watching it, like for instance, for my friend, she was like, "Oh God, it was very
like
fast paced for her."
Yeah.
So for me personally, it was really really good. Mm-hmm. It just added this whole new level to this game, which is like by itself flipping terrifying and an amazing experience. But then in VR, it's just a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like one of these sort of core principles of creating like fear within an audience when you're like watching a film or playing a game is meant to be that sort of like you place yourself in the avatar's shoes, so damage done to them is done to you, and when you're removing that barrier because that guy strangling you is now you and you're moving your head around, it's almost impossible to separate that reality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Osley in the kitchen about people who got like spun out from playing that walking the plank simulator where it's like standing over there
Oculus.
And it's like you're not going to fall further than literally the floor. But your brain is completely tricked by that. And get that, for Resident Evil to nail that feeling is just so, so impressive.
That's the thing, there's the walk the plank thing and there's a tightrope thing between two skyscrapers.
That's
And so people recommend to actually put like a rope or something thin on the ground. So when you put the
Because your
brain is already overridden by like the visuals of it. So if you then put your foot forward, especially if you're barefoot and you touch the what would be the rope, your brain makes all that make sense. Like I think I love the idea of that. That's what would get me out of camp VR. Yeah.
I still I think in team skeptic with VR because I bought a VR, I've played it once, and that was to play Resi 7 VR. But as far as gimmicks go, it is incredible, and I look forward to seeing what we do with it in the future.
I might have to borrow it off you because I've got the gold edition and I want to play through all of the stuff now.
Have either of you seen that No Man's Sky is getting a VR?
Yeah, it was announced today, wasn't it?
That's going to get me out.
I think, honestly, don't quote me on this, but that could be the next big thing because
just
that is like
exploration, first person, living your best life with your rocks and your minerals.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I want it.
I. I don't think that VR will ever take over the first person shooter market, but there is definitely a catering for sort of cinematic, stylistic experiences, which No Man's Sky is perfect built for. And now I feel like I trust Hello Games again once they've done all the work.
It was always good on launch day, Jules.
Will you stop with this bad take?
It's not a bad take.
I wish I had a tape recorder on because the amount of stuff that you say and then you go back on.
I've never gone back on No Man's Sky, ever. I was going to have that as game of the year.
Well, the hand goes up.
You're not my dad.
Gentlemen.
No Man's Sky was always good.
Gentlemen.
I'm never going to not fight
this. This is a podcast on games that we love.
No Man's Sky podcast.
We're going to settle this
Bring it.
In Lethal League, which is my...
Do you want to talk about Lethal League now?
Oh,
I do
that,
want
to... I do that segue. I love
that. Amazing segue.
I do want to talk about this.
No Man's Sky was always good. Go on.
So, you guys like Smash Bros, don't you?
Yes.
Love it.
Now, I found...
Yeah. I think it's impossible to get, I like it when I win.
But the thing is that like if I was to say that it's like a fighting game in the ilk of Smash Bros in that it's very chaotic but with baseball bats, and the only way to hit you to kill your opponent is to whack a baseball that is floating around in the center, kind of like the Smash Orb. What's it called?
It's like the old, well, I don't know.
Yeah, the Smash Attack.
But you're like you're batting that around and it gets to ludicrous speeds and it's one hit kill. And
there's only one ball per match.
One ball per match, and you can have up to four people playing, like as in teams of two or all against all, and it is just the most chaos thing I've ever played. If you've not played it, I totally recommend that you at least give it a try, because A, it's cheap, it's ridiculously colourful, every character's got like special abilities and moves, some of which phase the ball in and out of existence and then appear in different areas of the thing. Like, it's great.
Is it only on PC?
It's PC, it might be on... it might be on consoles.
Okay.
I'd say it's a perfect Switch game if it's not already on there.
If we're randomly recommending projectile-based things, I will throw Windjammers in. That's an old game.
But
Windjammers is so good. And then they had that... was that Disc one that came out on PS4?
Disc Jam,
which is... That was... Everyone's like, oh my God, a disc-based thing. I was like, check out Windjammers. That thing predates it by like 20 years.
I was trying to think about what game that sort of like reminded me of what you were describing. Yeah. So basically, you're playing a game that saw Peggle... with Smash Bros, right?
It is almost like that.
With Super Breakout.
But with characters that look like they are both at once offshoots from Sonic Heroes and also Skullgirls.
I mean, that's a pretty lovely combo.
It's amazing. Like the developers did not get the recognition that they deserved for it. Because I think that a lot of people saw it as just being like a flash in the pan, one and done style thing. Like, once you've seen the gameplay core experience, there's nothing else. But that core experience, if you can get a group of people that have invested in it, is amazing. Being able to play online against random strangers as well is always like a plus.
I'm going to check this out, but all I have is a wailing Mac and it can't play anything.
Oh. Yes.
So maybe, but maybe not. I don't know. We'll have to see. The next one I've got down is Super Hot, because I just wanted to... Super Hot is the only game that I think has ever done anything completely innovative and new with the base idea of controlling a first-person shooter.
That's now in VR as well.
Yeah. Well, it came out quite shortly after
one.
But that idea that, like, if you haven't played Super Hot, as soon as you move in Super Hot, your movement is time itself, so the faster you push the stick, the more you're going to go back to real time, or you can just crawl around, like, just nudging the analog stick or nudging the mouse, or whatever, slow time to a crawl and duck under bullets, cut them in half with a katana, just get out of the way of everything. You can leap off the top. It's every Matrix fight scene, but controllable and in the coolest way possible.
It does sound amazing. Everyone, I always hear people going on about it, and I've thought to myself, one day I'll play it.
Oh, you love it.
I'm going to get it from my PlayStation.
Oh, please do.
I've got an Oculus now. I'll get it from my PC. It does sound amazing. I didn't know that's what it was about. Like, that is so cool.
It has, like, even though it's not known for its narrative or like its story, I still love what it does.
It does have a good story.
Yeah, it came out at such a great time. I think it was 2015 or maybe 2016 when we first started getting like VR headsets and people talking about losing yourself in virtual reality. Ready Player One kind of had like a surge. Yeah. Book sales became the movie. And that game is all about losing yourself in a virtual space. And what does it mean to like not even care about your real body, just put yourself into this, you know, virtual world.
It was around the same time that Hotline Miami was doing that sort of thing, where Superhot kind of reflects that sort of anti-narrative, where it's not hand-holding, it's not telling you what to do. Dark Souls is very, very reminiscent of that as well, where it's just basically, it tells you through what's going on. It never explicitly says to you, this is what is happening to you, because there are so many times where you're like, wait, is this reality or am I in the game?
But there's what's going on? In Superhot, you should play it on PC if you can. Like, just because the whole thing with that game, the way its menus work, is someone messages you, like some random contact, as if you're in the Matrix, and just says like, hey man, like I've got this latest build of this thing, you need to give it a shot. And you reply, you can just hit reply, but you mash any keys and it just types everything out. It gives you like a stock response. But it's as if you're like a hacker in like any sort of movie where it's like you're like chasing after the next hit. And then after every level, they give you like a new build.
There is one bit, like it's not like going to ruin it for you because there's like tons of little bits where basically your friend just goes like, have you played it yet? And you're just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm going to go play it tonight. And as you try and load it back in, it says that it fails to load and you've got to actually like quit the game and come back into it.
Just it starts getting really meta. Like, yeah, it's like you're letting it in, you're letting super hot into your computer.
I love a game like that with like Doki Doki, for example, that has like PC integration.
Well, one of the best things, I'll not ruin it, but one of the best things is that super hot ends in a way that it instructs you to do something, let's say. And you'll, once you know what that is.
You have to delete the game.
I'm not ever going to tell you. You should play it. But once you know what that thing is, you'll then see it everywhere on social media.
Oh, cool.
Which is just brilliant.
Okay.
And it's like, and playing that before it blew up, like when that was like, not wasn't early access, but like having access to it before it was before it was on launch, and then seeing, like I said, instances of what people were doing, and then being like, oh, I see everyone who's played it is doing this thing. Yeah, it'll all make sense if you played it.
I want to be in the cult.
It's so good.
And plus, there is so much content for it as well, because not only is there the regular story mode, there's a challenge mode that goes through tons of stuff. There's a time trial attack for it as well. And I'm pretty sure that there's custom map making for it as well.
I think on the PC version there is.
On the PC version.
Not on consoles,
like,
but yeah.
If you've got that plus and you've got it in the VR headset, that's like months worth of content right there.
You can go into this endless mode where people just spawn forever and you just exist in super slow mode, just killing for like hours.
And
I
the best bit is that once you finish each level, because you've been moving through really slow, what it does is while it says super hot, it will play back the entire your run in real time so that you get to see how cool you looked as
you're like catching guns and cutting bullets in midair and then like grab this other thing, cut this other guy.
But it's moving so quickly at that point. So like, whoa.
And it's like that's what they would have seen with you like moving in that speed or whatever.
Cool.
So yeah, super hot, pretty good. Your next one down, Rach, I believe was Cadence.
So Cadence of Hyrule, if you've never played it, lovely listeners, is by the same guys who made a game called Crypt of the Necrodancer.
The hardest thing ever.
It's, do you know what? It's not that bad, mate. You just need practice, okay?
I need to get good.
It is the most unique roguelike I have ever played. So what that means is it's different every single time. Enemies, bosses, pickups are all different. The floor layout's different every time. When you die, you're dead and you start at the like from the beginning. But the twist is with Necrodancer, and then of course later on with Cadence, is that you have to move. Everything you do is on the beat. There's this most amazing electro like soundtrack, which all kind of sounds like
I own the soundtrack.
Oh,
like,
my
great.
God, the first few songs, because it's actually like very like spooky, and there's it's like very well, it's a crypt, isn't it? It's just the music is so good, and you do everything on that beat. And then they then took this, partnered it with Nintendo, and they brought out Cadence of Hyrule. Cadence being the main character in
Necrodancer. Which I think is the first time Nintendo have trusted any third party with Zelda.
They're like
since
an indie developer. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
The heart's in the right place. What?
Hyrule Warriors, baby.
Was that not? Who's that?
That was Koei Tecmo, baby. Okay,
Dynasty Warriors. They also did Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle as well. That
true.
Was
Ubisoft
made
yeah.
that. Well, they're not. Like, but the thing is with Cadence, Zelda. Though, with, I should have looked up the developers that made Necrodancer and Cadence, but I am terrible at life and everything.
It's not Sunset Games.
They're this tiny wee indie developers. Nintendo were like, sure, you can make a flippin' groovy,
we'll
funky Zelda game. And it's so good. It has everything that made the original Legend of Zelda's great, which was like really good dungeon, really good exploration design, and power-ups. You get different weapons and stuff like that. You get upgrades.
Seeing the familiar locales, but in a completely different way, must be so charming.
I've
played Crypt of the Necrodancer. I've not had a chance to play because I don't have a Switch. So.
Oh, my days. Now, Cadence is, when it released, I was like, right, I'll buy it. Hopefully it's not more than £20. It was £26, and I was like,
ooh. Stretch.
But obviously, I played it to death. I played it to death. I loved it.
That was
it.
You on all your lunch breaks for like a whole week. Is that I'm going to get through this?
No, I'm a sensitive soul, but see when I just like booted up that menu screen and they've got a Necrodancer meets Zelda theme song.
Yeah.
Oh,
like
my
the
days.
The electric version of the Hyrule theme.
I was away.
It's
so good.
I like that because like to drill it down in terms of gameplay, the thing that I think me and you struggle with so far, me and you, Jules, is that you do move on the beat. Like everything's grid-based.
Everything is on the beat.
But it's like if the beat
everything.
Is going, it's like
everything.
Yeah, it's like you're moving, attacking, dodging.
It's
so hard.
It's really hard and I do really enjoy it. But for me, I'm very like simplistic, so I can get the beat down. But then when it like changes mid-song, I'm like, oh God, oh bloody, oh God. Then there's like the dragon will come along and I'm like...
I played a little bit of Cadence because you gave me your Switch for a bit, there is totally like a zone you get into with it. Like it's definitely
it's
one of those
trance,
things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a trance-like state. It reminds me of like Thumper.
Amplitude.
Yeah,
or,
those old rhythm games.
Oh, Kraken. Yeah.
Where you're just sort of like tunnel vision. You're completely in sync with it, and then you know like the rhythm becomes second nature, and then you can do everything else.
Or like my next game.
Oh!
Oh, rhythm, do you want a segue?
Rhythm game. See, check that out, the segue.
Hey.
Into Rocksmith.
Yes.
The latest edition. I don't know what the latest edition was, but that's the one that I have.
It's not Rise of the Sixth String. I think that's a different company.
No, that's a completely different game.
Totally a game called Rise of the Sixth String.
But honestly, what...
Power gig. Carry on.
What Rocksmith aimed to do was really, really impressive, to take actual electric guitars and go through a sort of weird modulator and
mixer, and
be able to, for your PC to register exactly what notes you're playing, and then chart out your favorite songs and play them like Guitar Hero, effectively. It was so good. And I'm not saying that I've got the cracked version of it with a load of songs that aren't on there. I'm not saying that. Good.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Good. I'm just saying that
there is one out there.
You've heard about it. From Damien down
yes,
the street.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
got it from his dad.
And Damien says it's the best thing ever to be able to smash out Rammstein songs while drunk and literally on the like power chord in your way through the middle of
the night. The thing that almost got me to buy that is that they have a whole separate mode where you can just simulate like famous guitar tones. Like there's a whole like cabinet simulator thing. And I'm sure, I don't know if they got the license for the likes of Metallica or whatever, but you can get the same sort of sound banks that they use. So if you want to get really crunchy, like meaty guitar tones, you can just plug your guitar in and just pretend you're Metallica.
The funny thing is that you can take those guitar tones that you've made and then play them over songs that really should not have them in there. So it's like I don't know, like jamming out to like Johnny Be Good, but with like sort of like proper shredding something. Like,
I love the idea of it. I think as someone who like collects like guitars and guitar pedals and stuff, that idea, it's the same thing that the company called Line 6 used to specialize in, where it's like you can just buy one suite and just plug one cable in and have access to a million different things. But yeah, that was like a different, that was one of the last times that true innovation happened in the rhythm genre. Rock Band 3 went back down in the whole plastic instrument direction again.
It was a real shame what happened, because they released that and then I can't remember what happened to either the developer or something, but I know that they were just like, oh okay, we've just released this at the wrong time. If they've released it like maybe a couple of years before, they probably would have ridden that wave and possibly even extended the genre. But their choice to, I don't know, it felt like it was coming out and was already a relic. But for people who actually gave it the time, because people looked at it and said, I've played this song before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as well, like for people like me who like, I lived on Guitar Hero for years, lived on it, love it, and Rock Band, obviously. And then when Rocksmith came along, I was like, oh, that's for people who play instruments. Yeah. That's not me.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of misread the terrain because like everybody, like, yeah, we lived on Guitar Hero. Playing Guitar Hero so much got me into actual guitar. So it's like for something like Rocksmith, like if you weren't like comfortable with a real instrument, you were just going to keep sticking with the stuff that lets you pretend you're a rock star. As opposed to like the barrier for entry for Rocksmith was you need to actually know how to play this full instrument.
Well, it did teach you, because I actually got inspired by watching a YouTuber, and I can't remember his name, but they introduced me to the video game with a series that was how good can I get in 30 days of playing just for an hour every day using this tool. And by the end of it, I followed them and I got like, not great, but I was able to like carry a few tunes, and I was like, oh, and I actually know them when I go away from this now. So I was like, I'm not watching the screen, I'm actually like remembering the
that's one of the best things, like having gone from Guitar Hero to real guitar. It's weird how much harder songs are in Guitar Hero than they are in real life. Like some things get tracked like way more complexly than they actually are,
completely like artificial difficulties working.
And it's just like you'll realize that you can actually play real guitar a hell of a lot better than you might think you can if you're struggling at Guitar Hero.
Maybe you can.
You'll totally get there. Riffing on the Sandmans in no time.
I just want them to bring out Drumsmith. Like, they could just do the same but for the drums, then that would be amazing. I know that people say like, that's pretty much Rock Band, but just imagine that with like, a proper kit.
Band was like, you had four toms, you didn't even have a bass pedal.
Unless you like got your mates and they had like the double bass pedal or something, you'd have to like plug a whole kit in, like separate mics per skin or something.
I wouldn't, if it's an electronic one then it'd be alright.
It maybe is potential for it to work, a whole Smith series.
Any game developers out there who want to make one, do that for us.
I want a bass Smith.
I think games that just teach you things in general always a good idea. Like, this is completely like off the rails, but like I remember when I was wee, there was a Pokemon typing game that taught you how to spell and stuff like that. So just with you saying like with Rocksmith being innovative, like I think there is a market in games for education.
Absolutely,
but no one is taking advantage of it.
Well, I'll throw Labo in, because although like Labo like does it like kind of subtly, because you don't realize how many skills you're picking up along the way, like how many different sort of steps that you're getting towards.
It's got a piano, right?
There's like the piano, there's like the camera and stuff, but when you've done all the building, it puts you in, it just calls it like the garage mode, and it's like you can build anything, like any sensor, any, you're basically learning how to write basic algorithms, like you know, like A begets B, triggers C, does D, like whatever, and you'll realize that, oh, I can turn this light on over here if I like blow this thing or turn this thing over or whatever.
Well, that's why I always thought that Minecraft was such a good thing. Like, it's never appealed to me. Like I just never played it, and I don't know why. It just doesn't have that hope for me. But that's not, I'm not dissing it in any way, I'm just saying it was amazing for people who could get stuff out of it, because I've seen kids learning how to build stuff from
really
that.
Good at understanding
and
3D
like,
space.
Yeah, and when people are just kind of like, oh, they're right off as, oh, it's just a rubbish game where you just build stuff or whatever. It's like, yeah, but it's so complex, some
it's
of the
brilliant.
Stuff.
It's
it
so
teaches
good.
Kids about properties. It teaches kids about weight. It teaches them about like electricity and switches and stuff like that. It's really decent.
You can live in a giant drum kit if you want to.
I might do.
You could.
And I'll come along and we'll hang out, we'll cook some fish.
Knock on the door and it'll be like, boom, boom.
Hello. So my last thing is Days Gone, which is a weird pick.
I cannot believe you picked this.
Well, because it does one thing that no one else has done that I can think of off the top of my head. No one else has done fully open world horror.
Evil Within 2.
Dying Light.
I don't know. Okay, well, what I was going to say is Evil Within, the way that they did it, Dying Light does not, that's not even a thing. Dying Light.
Dying Light is a thing.
Is it a thing?
It's getting a sequel soon.
Dead Island.
Dead Island was terrible. That's not the thing. Julian pokes the bear gill.
It's big levels.
No. Dying Light's the closest thing to it. But what I was getting at was the thing that Evil Within 2 did, where they have like you have this like open world, semi-open world sort of environments, and different sort of things trigger as you walk through them. I love the idea of that. I love the idea of not knowing where the thing that's haunting you or hunting you is in that whole environment. But the way that Days Gone did it, where you have these big like platoons, these big hordes of zombies just somewhere in the map.
Yeah.
And you like, you know, you might just come over the crest of a hill as you're leaving a mission or on the way to the next mission, and all of a sudden you're just surrounded by these rabid, like a few thousand of them coming at you at once. And it's a feeling like that.
Have they actually managed to get like thousands of them on screen at once?
Yeah. I mean, I've never like counted. There's a lot though.
Really? Have you never seen any sort of...
I've just bypassed the entire game.
The sort of horde kind of mode looks terrifying.
Yeah, really? If you play with headphones, that's really good audio, really good sound design. Like if you had it with headphones and you're just exploring out in the open world, and like I said, you sort of like come over a hill, or maybe you hear in the distance, you hear like the moaning of a zombie or something, and you kind of go like, oh God, they're all around me.
Yeah, or like your friend, like like friendly NPC will be like, "Oh mate, don't go over there. I'm hearing the hordes over there." Okay. And you'll be like, "Oh, heck you, I've got my motorbike.
I've got
be
a shotgun.
Right. I've got my jacket."
My like petrol canned silencer or whatever it is. But then all of a sudden, like, you know, you'll hear them, they'll be getting louder and you have nowhere to go because you're out of petrol or whatever it is.
Oh god, that's
so you're just in the middle of this giant open space and the mist starts settling in and it just suddenly becomes a really good intense horror scenario. Okay. And it's just, I want to give it its due for that because it did stumble a lot. There's a lot of really busy work, repetitive crafting crap.
There's a lot that I've heard that's negative.
Yeah, totally. And like, yeah, and it's overlong and everything else. But when it works with its atmosphere, it absolutely nails it. And it's like, if you're a zombie fan who, like, you know, that whole idea of being overwhelmed by zombies is like, you know, obviously the key to that fiction kind of thing. When you're trying to hide in the middle of an open world, like just like tucked behind a car, hoping they don't see you, and a whole platoon just goes past, and you're just like waiting, like until it's safe again. Like little moments like that, I feel like even within two, even Dying Light, I don't feel like they've ever like nailed the dynamism of it like that. Even though I can't compare it to Dying Light that much, I haven't played that much Dying Light, but I think that thing's more action focused.
It is definitely
action. It's not the survival aspect.
It's just ooh, there's some zombies.
You can kick and you can jump on them. You can drop
them. Put a bit more emphasis into like, oh, this is something you want to play with friends, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Days Gone feels like a single player story experience.
There's like one thing that Days Gone nails, and it's that isolation of what it would be like to try and go from a safe zone to a safe zone and then just being out of petrol or getting blindsided or whatever, and then just the real struggle to get through. So I would always highlight that. Rachel, your final one, I think, was Twitch integration.
Okay, so let me explain.
Okay. Go on.
So I was trying to think of something really different and lovely to talk about on this podcast because I love talking about lovely things on lovely podcasts. So.
Have you seen the No Man's Sky update? It's really
good. Oh my god.
Give
it was always good, but it's really good.
So, what I mean by games with Twitch integration. So Twitch TV obviously is a live streaming platform. Uh-huh. It's quite big. Wherein obviously you'll have a streamer playing the game and you'll have people watching the stream in chat.
Yes. You can follow us every 2 weeks on the thing.
But we stream on YouTube, Scott. So
It's still the streamings. come do the streamings.
Twitch in particular though, a few games have Twitch integration. What that means is you can post a message in chat and that changes the game.
Yes.
Somehow. So for example, there is a game called Marbles on Stream.
Okay.
And everyone who is watching the stream can join in and be part of the game. All you have to do is type play, and then you become this little marble, and then you can potentially win. It's like a race.
Oh, okay.
It's like a race. No, you don't control it. It's completely RNG. It's completely random. Okay. But it's like you and like 40 other people or something all like, come on, marble, my marble must win. And it's so simple, but it creates this really like fun atmosphere where it's like, obviously, they are the streamer, it's their show, but everyone is a part of it, and everyone is playing this game together. The most notable example, which I wonder if you were going to say...
Vermintide.
Have it, yes. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Jackbox.
I was going to say Jackbox with the audience. Like, everyone can be the audience, which is great.
The amount of times when you just look around the room and be like, you dirty, dirty
But no, Vermintide is very correct. That is a game I really do want to play, especially since here and now it does have Twitch integration. Mm-hmm. So chat can either help or hinder.
It might as well never be help.
Even though I think it's in the Total Wipeout game, that game was like a tie into the TV show where the other player can like throw like other balls and objects at the one person trying to make it through.
There is a game, I'm probably going to get the name wrong. I want to say it's like Carmageddon or it's like Trucks something.
Okay.
And it's all about jumping from one lorry to the next on a busy...
Cluster Truck.
Cluster Truck! Yes! But just games like this, Dead Cells has it as well. Mm-hmm. Your moderator, your best boy in your stream can be a chicken that follows you around and heals you in Dead Cells, and everyone else in the chat can vote on what you should level up and stuff like that.
That's so cool.
And I just think it's really smart. It is, again, it's like the next level of gaming, of life. Streaming of stuff like that.
It reminds me of the Twitch Plays Pokemon thing, and it's obviously the ones you mentioned are way more controlled, but that idea of like a group of people trying to do something, it's something that like even like Peter Molyneux tried to do with that weird little tap thing that he had. I forgot what that name of it was, but that idea of as many people as possible trying to tap away at this giant
goddess, wasn't it?
That's what it became.
Goddess was,
I think it was called Tap for something, but either way he put out that there was this giant cube, you can log in, you can tap as much as you want to chip away at it, and eventually someone will get to the middle of it. I like the idea of those sort of communal based goals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool, I feel like we just need, there's no one like big standout game that does it really well. I'm obviously Vermintide does it well, Dead Cells does it well, and then Marbles was made
there's
for
no game that's like massively known for
we
it.
We need a game that does this really well, I feel, and it could be particularly game changing.
I mean, it might change the entire fate of the gaming community, which, oh my god, at least do another segue.
I was going to say, you're going to segue again. I was going to predate that.
Yeah, well,
which one have we got?
Hand of Fate.
Good. It's one of the best games ever made.
Hand of Fate is brilliant.
Not true, but it's really good.
It's kind of just like a choose your own adventure book, but you actually get to play the fight sequences, and like it's all choice based. You get to take control of your little avatar, level them up, give them new weapons and stuff like that.
I thought it was a card game.
It is a card game. Essence, that like basically you meet this sort of like the Fate Weaver who basically sits down and goes like, oh, I tell you what, mate, you've shown up right here. Let's have a look and see what's going for you. And basically he'll just...
I think she speaks proper English.
Yeah, he does, actually, yeah. He'll,
all right, mate.
All right, mate.
It will be something simple like, you see a caravan ahead, do you want to approach it? And then you just go like, yeah, okay, cool. And then it'll be like more cards will get dealt out to you, but it will be like based on...
It still chooses your own adventure, but he basically has a deck he's playing against you and you have your deck which has weapons and items and stuff in, so you're playing against each other.
So it's the Oregon Trail meets Magic the Gathering.
But with the Arkham Games combat.
Oh my God. You'll like have boss fights in it as well, which are really good. There'll sometimes be cards that'll flip over and be like, uh-oh, sorry, you lose sort of thing. And you've got like some horrible stuff will happen.
You can always fight your way out of it. You never just lose.
Yeah, but it'll be like bad things like your health will be completely permanently deleted sort of thing. Oh, it's a great game and they got a really good sequel, but then unfortunately the developer closed, which is really sad. No more Hand of Fate.
There was Hand of Fate 2 though.
There was Hand of Fate 2.
If you're going to jump in, just jump into 2. Like there's a little bit more of a character creator. There's way more to the combat.
You don't need to know anything about the story because they are like...
Well, the lovely setting is just that you're an adventurer who's wandered into this sort of little like cabin or whatever, the stagecoach.
Yeah.
And this like mysterious guy is like, do you want to play a game? And it's like, okay, fine. And then you play those scenarios. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, it's never clear if like he's death or if he's fate himself or anything.
I like that you don't know.
Yeah, it's just kind of like all right, mate,
because it's like he has this deck with like different like encounter cards and scenarios and stuff that he's playing at you and asking you to make these decisions, but over time you amass your own deck of like specific weapons, so even if you beat one of his games next time around, you'll know that you want to play the axe card so that next time you have an axe or whatever.
That's the best thing about it, having like being able to win cards off of him, and then when there's scenarios of just going like, oh well, I couldn't do that last time because I didn't have enough health to survive, or I didn't have this thing, you just go, oh, but now I do and I can play that scenario. And then get to a secret path, like, or
you'll get like a specific scenario card. Maybe you didn't have this trinket that they needed, but like if you then you play the scenario card knowing that you have the object, and then you'll get a different card which changes
the
path next
time. Yeah, the whole like card game mixed with actual real time combat is really interesting.
It's great. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of like when Yu-Gi-Oh came out on the PS2, and I was never a Yu-Gi-Oh fan. I tried to like play that because I thought I liked the idea of playing a card and then it's spawning something and then playing as that thing. Even that game that was on PS3 with the camera.
Oh, Eye of Judgment or something?
Eye of Judgment. That like, yeah, you put a card down but on screen because the way the camera looked at your playmat, it brought stuff to life. I always loved that.
It was crap, but it was also such a great idea.
But why have they not done that for Magic the Gathering?
Whatever happened to the Microsoft HoloLens, by the way? Because I always wanted a flipping AR Yu-Gi-Oh game. How good would that be?
Just, I think that would be the future of any sort of card game. Not to put the people off who don't like card games, but if you're into card stuff, anything like that, it should just make sense to play cards as normal, but on screen it's a whole animated battle or whatever. That'd be great.
There's people in the Magic the Gathering community who like do like unboxings and stuff, and when they, instead of just like showing their camera what card they've got, they put it under this scanner and it will literally just scan the thing immediately and show the audience the actual official artwork for it straight away, so that they can like, they don't have to fanny about.
There was
all
a great
this, like,
thing. Weird little tangent, but in the Lego store in New York, if you took any box off the shelf and held it in front of this screen, it would assumedly scan something on the box and show you what the model was going to be when it's constructed on top of the box in your hand, so you're sort of like moving
that's
it around
mad.
Looking at what you're about to buy, like in full
AR
form.
Technology
and it's like it scans it that fast that you could totally do this stuff.
I feel like I blinked and suddenly AR is just a normal thing.
It's just
a normal thing, because like 1 minute it was like buggy and never really worked, and all of a sudden you've got it in Lego stores, like
Lego, Pokemon. I remember when the 3DS came with those little cards and it's like, oh, Yoshi's on top of the card. Isn't that
cute? Was mind-blowing.
That was so lush. And then it's like now it's like an actual like feature that is everywhere and actually seems to play into stuff. But
technology's scary.
Do we have time for a little honorable mention?
Yes, we have.
If possible,
minutes.
I would really like to draw some attention to how cool it is to have Motion controls? No, no, no. Ooh. Stay with me. Okay. I've lost some of yous, but those who are still with me, stay with me. Yes. I am a big fan of motion controls when they're done really well, mm-hmm. and the Nintendo Switch does them really well, and I just want to give a shout out to Splatoon 2, because Splatoon 2's motion controls are heckin' awesome. So it controls the, I think it's the X-axis or is it the Y-axis? It controls one of the axes.
Yeah, the vertical or horizontal.
Yeah, it's the vertical axis, I'm sure. And then the horizontal one you do with, obviously, the camera stick. Mm-hmm. It just completely, like, I am not a big, like, shooter player, but I love Splatoon 2. I just love the feeling of playing it in
that
like,
thing, though,
control.
Like, that was Splatoon 2 was the first time I saw, like, a hardcore sort of fandom, like, this approach to a game being like, this is the way to play. You need to play with the motion controls.
Yeah, which, you
like,
just for the don't play time, with the sticks.
Yeah, so like, for the longest time, people were like, don't, like, you know, especially on Nintendo stuff, it was like, oh, don't bother with the motion controls. It's a better way to play if you just use the sticks and the old reliable buttons. But yeah, Splatoon 2's fandom was like, the way to play is that like, you want to aim vertically using the motion controls, which I still couldn't get my head around, but were you way better with it?
It changes your life, mate. See, we can get good at it.
What was that thing that we did, that thing, the salmon run? I was like, what's that fish thing we did? We did the salmon run, and like you were dominating on that with the old motion controls. So yeah, Jules, what do you think of the history of motion controls?
I've seen them at their worst, but if this is their best, then I'm more than happy.
Oh, what's their worst? What do you think is their worst? Skyward Sword?
No, the worst one is having to pretend like you're tossing off the controller in No More Heroes. That's
oh, just, No More Heroes.
Oh, no. Well, at least that's responsive, quote unquote. The worst one's Steel Battalion. Well, that's kind of the Kinect.
No, Red Steel was pretty bad as well. The first one, because they had like, there was like input lag with that one, which is pretty
anything
heavy.
On the original.
It's come a
Kinect.
Long way.
Yeah,
it's come
has.
A long way it since
really
then.
Has.
These are a whole smattering of things potentially for now for the future of gaming. But let us know what you think down in the comments below about, I don't know, recent things that have blown you away in the games themselves. For now, though, this has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Thanks for being here, guys.
And Jules Gill.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.